After church one day, I went to the greengrocer and got my things, and there was a bit of a queue. And the man in front of me in the queue just turned around and said, "Oh, hi Tanya, how are you? How have you been? What have you been doing?" Had a good old jolly chat. And the whole time in my mind, I'm thinking, who on earth is this guy? I've never met him before. And as we got to the front of the queue, it was about to be his turn. And he goes, "You're wondering who I am, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "That's all right, we've never met before, but you've got your name tag on." I don't know if that's happened to you. Yeah. People like to have a bit of fun. But we like to be called by our names. It makes us feel known. It's really important to, you know, to be called by name from our childhood, from our earliest years. We're taught to respond to our names. We draw closer to people when they know our names, and it lets down the defences. And, you know, a name is really important. It's our identity. And today we're going to think about God's name and our identity in him and his name and all about that. But first I'm just going to talk a little bit about names. People call their kids weird things these days. Just on the radio this week, there was a, you know, they're just laughing at some of the names people call their kids. And people are actually getting like bullied or trolled on social media for calling their kids things like what can be read as fart, if you're allowed to say that in church, I don't know.
There's one called Apple.
That's cool. So this couple decided to call their baby P-H-A-R-T. That poor kid is going to go through school being called fart, I'm sure. As you don't pronounce it that way, the mother defends the name. But, you know, I know the trouble my daughter had being called Jessie all through school, but her terrible mother spelt it the boy's name because she loved the story of Jessie in the Bible. And that was hard enough to go through. Now, I don't know if you like your name or not, but it's important to have a good name. We all know that. And I probably didn't really always like my name, Tanya Hopkins, growing up. In my childhood, there is three people in my class all through primary school called Tanya, because just a few years earlier, there was Miss Universe Tanya. So a lot of people in my era were called Tanya. So there were three in my class, and we all had the name Tanya H. So I won't tell their names because we're going to put it on the website, but we all had Tanya H starting our surname. And this got really hard for our teacher. So in grade 5 and 6, the darling teacher decided that he'd have to just, got sick of saying our full names every time he was addressing one of us. So he decided, okay, the first one, alphabetical order, you're Tanya. The next one, you're Tanya Ha. And you, me, you're Tanya Ho. Ho. So that was okay in primary school and early high school, but to older high school boys, Ho means something different, which I learnt very quickly. It's not a nice name. It could be like, you know, whore or something like that. So I didn't really enjoy my name as Tanya Hopkins growing up. It had all these hard connotations with it. And I was glad to get married, even though my surname was Cummings. But when that marriage failed, I didn't want to go back to Hopkins because that, you know, had bad memories. I didn't want to keep Cummings, but I did for my children's sake. But I am actually really proud of the name Hopkins now. Just recently, if you're my friend on Facebook, I have changed my name back to Hopkins there. I haven't done it legally just because the process was too hard. But I am actually proud of that name now because my dad, the whole time growing up, he used to say he was glad that he only had two daughters, so the Hopkins name would die out with him. He wasn't proud of it, you know, growing up in Scotland and, you know, he's scarred from his childhood. But he's actually done a lot of work forgiving his parents, and I'm just really glad to be known as a Hopkins now and carry on the name because I'm proud to be a Hopkins and bring honour to my father. Now, names are very much more meaningful in biblical times than they are today. You know, we might call our kids something after our heritage, but in biblical times, people were actually given names to live up to or that described them and they were to grow up into. It reflected their character or their position. And I can think of a few names that God had named people just to rename them, to change their identity, to help them grow into something else. So Abraham, for example, Abram was his birth name, which meant exalted father. And God changed his name to Abraham, meaning father of multitudes. His wife Sarai, her name was princess, meant princess. And God changed it to Sarah, meaning mother of multitudes. And of course, they had a baby, Isaac, which means laughter, because Sarah laughed at the idea of having a baby in her old age. And one of their descendants, Jacob, he was called grabber or deceiver because he was grabbing his brother's heel, his twin brother's heel, as he came out the womb. And he eventually deceived that brother out of his birthright. But God changed his name too. He changed it to Israel. After a long night wrestling with God, God changed Jacob's name from deceiver, grabber, to one who wrestled with God and man. And the whole nations of Israel is named after him. See, God can change people's identity. He can change their name. And he does that for all of us who are believers in Christ, followers of Christ. It doesn't matter if you like your name of origin or not. We are Christians, and we bear the name of Christ. And so we carry his identity with us. We represent him. And in that name, there is so much power and authority and the character of God. These are the things that we carry with us when we say we are Christians, when we bear his name. Now, the Old Testament has many, many names for God. I'm sure you have your favourites. I love Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Rapha means God of healing. Wonderful names. Wonderful is another name for God. Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. So many names God is known by. And I don't think we'll cover them all today because there's just too many. But the one I must have been reflecting on the most this week is I am. Remember God said to Moses, when Moses was asked by God to go and set the Israelites free from Egypt, and he gave every excuse under the sun to get out of it, and in the end he's, you know, reluctantly agreed and goes, well, what if I don't know how to explain you to your people? Who will I say sent me? He said, say I am sent you. I am who I am. Just reflecting on that, it's a powerful and profound name. I am. God is I am. I just pray for a greater revelation of that for all of us this week as you reflect further on that. It's just an amazing name. And furthermore, God decided to become flesh. So I am in the flesh became Jesus, as promised. In Isaiah, it said, Emmanuel will be born to a virgin. Emmanuel means God with us. And we see that fulfilled as God said to, or an angel said to Mary and Joseph, you'll have a son and his name will be Jesus because he will save his people from his sins. That's what Jesus means, Saviour. And his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And so Jesus is God on earth, showing us how to live out God's identity with all power and authority and with the character, the humble, beautiful, good, loving, caring, compassionate character of God. He showed us that. And he went around healing people. That's what he did with his name. He healed people in his name. He baptized people in his name. And then the reading that we just heard from John, as he got ready to say goodbye to his disciples, he was about to be crucified, he said to them, you know, don't worry, I'm going to send you a comforter, and you haven't yet prayed anything in my name, but once I'm gone, my name will replace me, and you can pray in my name, and it'll be like I'm here with you still, be my presence, my name will represent me. The Holy Spirit will represent me, my name will represent me, and you can pray in my name, and if it's in accordance with God's will, I will do as you ask. Because I am who I am, and I'm still going to be the same whether I'm here or not with you. He stays the same, whether he's present or in heaven. And let me just read a scripture, because here's where he is now, and it's above every other name. It's from Philippians chapter 2. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The highest name. You couldn't get a name any higher because he humbled himself so lowly. And we know what he did for us in dying for us on the cross, and he deserves that rightful place in the world, in our lives. There is power and authority and the character of God in the name of Jesus. And it's in his name that we are saved. It's in his name that we are baptized. It's in his name that we pray. It's in his name that we invoke healing upon people. We say, be healed in Jesus' name. There is healing in his name. There is power in his name. There is authority in his name to cast out demons and to cast away demons. I don't know if you ever had a bad experience, but many years ago now, one night I was laying in my bed and there was just like a dark presence in my house. It was down the hallway, and I just knew where it was, and it was quite frightening and scary. I didn't know what to do with that. But I know that Jesus' name has all authority over any demon. You know, the devil might be stronger than us, but Jesus is more powerful than the devil. And we rebuke him in Jesus' name, and he must flee in the name of Jesus. That's what scripture declares. But I was too frightened to say the name Jesus out loud. But do you know, the devil or demons or dark presences can't read our mind. We have to declare Jesus' name out loud for them to flee. They can't read our mind. They can, like, fire fiery arrows into our mind and help us to think wrong thoughts, but they can't read our mind. And so the first night I laid there frightened, just in my mind, praying, Jesus, Jesus, help me. The next night that presence was there again. And I was bold enough just to say, Jesus. That's all I could get out. Jesus. You must flee from me in the name of Jesus. And he did. And at night I just prayed for angels protecting all our property and stuff. But I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that. But we are in spiritual warfare. We don't think about it much. We don't talk about it much. But it's very real that Jesus has more power than any enemy we come against. And we can fight against all our enemies in the name of Jesus, or the name of the Lord, like David did, remember, fighting Goliath. Let me read how he came against his enemies. When David faced Goliath, he said to him, "You come to me armed with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will smite you and cut off your head, and I will give the corpse to the army of the Philistines this day, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." God will always defend his name. And if we're living faithfully for him, he'll answer the prayers that we pray in his name for his purposes and glory, and he'll help us live for him for his purposes and glory, and help us conquer our enemies. And so today I want us to be encouraged to live like he taught his disciples to live. Let me just read one more passage, if I may, about the disciples. So the disciples did do what Jesus told them to do. They went around in Jesus' name, using Jesus' name to bring healing, to heal the sick, to baptize people, and just to do amazing miracles. And one day, they were just asked by a lame beggar for money. And they said to this beggar, "Look, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, walk." And this man got up and he started to walk around, and it was a miracle. Everyone knew him as the beggar. And so everyone came to hear what Jesus, all these stories about Jesus from the disciples. And there was big crowds gathered, and about 5,000 people came to believe in Jesus just because of this one miracle. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rulers of the day didn't like that. Too much attention this Jesus is getting. He's dead and gone. We thought we got rid of him, but he's still causing trouble. So they got Peter and John, the disciples, and put them in prison for the night. And in the morning, they tried them, you know, tested them, say, well, you know, they asked, here's what they asked Peter and John. By what power or what name did you do this miracle? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Isn't that awesome? Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven or earth by whom you can be saved. Salvation is the name of Jesus. Healing is in the name of Jesus. And they didn't like that. They didn't want people following Jesus. And so they said to Peter and John, they said to try and stop them from spreading the name further among the people, we must warn you to never speak any longer or teach anyone any more in this name. And Peter and John said, which is right in the eyes of God, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And they continued teaching and preaching and baptizing and healing in the name of Jesus. The awesome name of Jesus. I love the name of Jesus. I'm excited for that. You excited? Just say Jesus a lot. It's awesome. Absolutely. It's a wonderful name, a beautiful name. So as people called by the name of Christ, you share all his power, all his authority. We grow further and more like him in character. And we need to learn to live out our name and our identity in him with all that power he's given us. We don't need to go around being crazy Christians, but we just need to be living as Christ called us to, faithful and obedient. We continue to gather in his name. We call on his name. We pray in his name. We preach in his name. We baptize in his name. We receive the Spirit in his name. We are willing to suffer for his name. We cast out demons in his name. We rebuke Satan in his name. His name is powerful. Amen.